Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I am so excited that you are here today. Today, we are going to be covering the closet clean out, which you, if you've been on our Instagram lately, I posted how I got rid of three massive garbage bags of clothing, and I actually still have more. Technically, I had a half of one that I didn't put in the picture, and I think I'm still going. But I want to talk all about it because I was very inspired by two different accounts that were talking about closet cleanouts, and I feel like it's such a good time of year for that because we're spring, you know, we're in spring, the weather's starting to change, summer is around the corner, you know, your wardrobe flips going from wearing jeans and sweaters and boots to shorts and swimsuits and tank tops, and there's a lot of discomfort that can come with that, and especially if you're on a, you know, a journey of healing your relationship with body image, that plays a role in it. And then thinking about myself, I am 1 year postpartum today when this episode is being released, which is fucking insane. So a year ago today, I had a C-section. Whew, that's crazy. So that plays into it. So that's like another, you know, body image alone is difficult, but then you add postpartum into it, and that's a whole nother thing. Maybe it's menopause. We have a lot of clients, you know, that we support going through menopause. So there's so many different things that make body image and closet cleanouts difficult. So I figured it was a great time to do this. So before we get into it today, I want to read a Fine Food Freedom win of the week. And this week it's going to be a little different because I'm realizing I haven't talked about this at all on the podcast, which I'll probably end up doing a full episode on this. But I want to put up a question box before I do that so I can answer like what you actually want to hear about it. Anyways, the Fine Food Freedom win of the week says, I just saw your Eucerin commercial and got so excited for you. I told my partner, she's an amazing nutritionist that I follow, as if I know you in real life. Get it, girl. So tomorrow, or technically today, when you're listening to this, I fly out to New York for an event with Eucerin. It's a launch party for the Radiant Tone Collection, and it's going to be really, really fun. I'm really excited. I haven't seen the Eucerin team in a few months now, and I was so used to seeing them every month for like almost 6 months, which is crazy. So it's been an incredible opportunity to work with Eucerin, and I just never thought that that's something I would do. A, film a commercial. B, work with a skincare brand. But it has been so cool because I got to meet their scientists. I got to be at their lab. I got to do a clinical trial. Like, it was so, so much fun. So I've been getting, and I posted about this, or I'm crafting a post about this currently. I've collected a lot of your DMs when some of you see me in the commercial and you're like, what the fuck? Did I just see you in a skincare commercial? Because if you haven't seen me talking about it on Instagram, you're like, was that the girl from Fine Food Freedom? Like, so many people are DMing me that. Or like my friends will just text me and they're like watching Disney Plus or Hulu or HBO. And like all of a sudden my face is on their screen and it's pretty funny. So it's been a really, really fun journey. I'm so grateful for it. I can't say enough good things about the Eucerin team. And I will definitely do a full episode on that, how that opportunity came to be. I feel like that could be a whole nother episode on like content creation and putting yourself out there and how you never know what opportunities are around the corner. So let's dial back into what we're talking today. I want to talk about closet cleanouts, and I'm going to share two podcast episodes, and I'm going to also link them in the show notes because they were big inspirations to me doing this. And it was just like the perfect storm of listening to them, interviewing them, and then doing it myself. So first up is Daisy at the Mindful Closet. I can't remember if it's Mindful Closet or the Mindful Closet on Instagram, but I will put her account in the show notes below. We interviewed her on What the Actual Fork podcast, and we did a whole episode on like everything. So she is a weight inclusive stylist, and it was so interesting to hear how she works with clients. She takes virtual clients, so she works with people who are like, I don't know what my style is, I don't know how to dress my body. And a lot of what she does is like what we do with clients, in the sense of like dismantling all of the patriarchal beliefs about how to dress your body or how to be sexy or what you like, and like, so redefining like what you really like. And I talk a lot about with her, like the season of life I'm in on that episode, of like being post, like 1 year postpartum with my second. I'm like, I don't know what my fucking style is. Like, I don't know how to dress myself. Like, who am I? So we talk a lot about that. So that episode was incredible, and I highly recommend watching it. And I'll probably revisit some of it throughout this episode. And then another one is by a good friend of mine, Victoria Garrick Brown. She not long ago did a closet clean out episode. And what I like about her episode is she's worked with celebrity stylists, and she's had some really cool opportunities in her career, that not only is she weight inclusive and body positive and all of those great things, and she's on her way to becoming a certified intuitive eating counselor. Woo, go Vic. But she also has this incredible career where she's in the public eye, and she works with stylists, and she goes on, you know, national news segments and all like crazy red carpet events. And so it's so cool to hear her perspective, coming from like a celebrity stylist, and like what to have in your closet and all that. So it's really cool to hear that mixture. So I'm going to put both of those episodes in the show notes below, and those could be like a part two, part three of today's episode. But I want to get into, for me personally, I also want to throw in here that I have ADHD, I have anxiety, I have depression. So cleaning out an entire closet, and not just closet, but dresser as well, is so overwhelming. And so many of you, when I was kind of live posting about it on my Instagram stories, were like, this overwhelms me so much. Like, I want to do it, but it overwhelms me. And I agree. And I think it's important to set realistic expectations for yourself. For example, for me, I knew this was going to take days, and I knew I had to do it in sections, because I've seen people talk about this online where they're talking about a closet clean out and they're like, I'm going to do everything at once. And they put these videos up of them taking everything out of their closet and putting it on their bed. Or like, you see those, like, I feel like Home Edit, like some of these organizational shows, right? Where everyone's taking everything out of their closet. Okay. You have to remember that like, that's a full-time crew or like person that they hired doing that. If you're doing this yourself, I do not recommend taking everything out. I recommend doing it in sections. So for example, I started with my dresser, and I wasn't even thinking about doing my closet. It was my dresser. Specifically, there's two drawers in my dresser that has graphic tees from high school, from college. I went to Penn State. I'm from Pittsburgh. So there was like a lot of like nostalgic, sentimental shirts in there, but they were all too small. Like, did they fit my body? Yeah, but like, would I ever wear them? Hell no. I love an oversized tee. That's like the only thing I will wear. If anything's remotely tight on me from like a graphic tee perspective, I have no interest. So I realized that there's two drawers. I have six drawers in my dresser. There's two drawers that were taken up by graphic tees. And when I tell you that I have not put one of those tees on my body in I don't know how many years, and I would start like jamming clothes on top of those clothes because I wasn't wearing them and I needed the space. And I was like, this is stupid. And I started to remember like a trend. I feel like it was I feel like a lot of people did this years ago, but I've seen people making quilts or blankets out of t-shirts. And my grandma had done this for some of my cousins years and years and years ago. And so I Googled it and I found this amazing company. This is not sponsored, but called Project Repat. And I've so many of you sent me them in the DMs too, that I think they hire veterans. Like, it's a really cool organization. I don't know as much about that, so don't quote me on it, but so many of you like DM'd me about that. So what you get to do with this is you pick out as many t-shirts as you want. There's different sizes. I chose the one that uses 30 t-shirts. So it's like 5 across, 6 down, 12 by 12 cutouts of your t-shirts. And you send them in and they make a blanket for you. And like on the back, it's fleece. And then the front is your shirts. So this was exactly what my brain needed, because the only reason I was keeping those shirts and hoodies too, they can do crew necks, they can do hoodies, sweatshirts. So the only reason I was keeping those things originally was because I didn't want to get rid of them for nostalgia purposes, but I was never going to wear them. So this is like the best of both worlds, because I was like, I get to keep them. And I actually will see them more often, because I'm probably going to use this blanket all the time on the couch, like when I'm just doom scrolling after the kids go down. And it's going to be so comfy, and it's going to have all my favorite shirts on it. And there were bigger ones too that were more than 30 shirts. So if you're someone who's like, oh, I have more than that, that or less than that, like, I just thought that was a really cool way that you can start to clean out things that just don't serve you anymore. Maybe they don't fit you, but you don't want to get rid of them and you don't know what to do with them. I thought that was such a unique way to utilize those. Another one, of course, you can donate them, you know, get rid of them. But that was something specifically that I did in my dresser. And once I started to clean out some of the dresser drawers and really see like space, empty space, it started to motivate me that I was like, you know what? I need to go through this closet. And I think any postpartum women can attest to this, is like you get to a point around the year mark where you start to feel like yourself again. And then you're just like, fuck it. Everything's got to go. Like anything that doesn't serve you, anything that you're not going to wear anymore. I posted about this on Instagram, but I found a Forever 21 jacket that was size small. I have moved 4 different times in the state of Florida alone. Then we got to say, okay, I moved twice to New Jersey from college. Like that Forever 21 jacket has had to have traveled through 7 different moves with me. Why in the fuck did I ever think that I was going to wear that again? Like, genuinely don't know. But once I started to eye some things up in my closet, I was like, I need to do this. So we're going to talk about like how I started this. I'm going to talk about my parameters too of like keep versus get rid of, or you could say toss, like whatever that word is. And toss or get rid of, that doesn't necessarily mean it's like going in the trash, right? That could be donate. That could be towards your project, your quilt blanket. That could be giving it to a friend. That could be storing it in your attic. That could be many different things, right? So when I started this and when I realized I was going to do it, I was like, I have to do this in sections. And so I started with dresses. Like I have a section in my closet where I have like long dresses, like maxi dresses, things that are, that aren't on like the, they're not like a shirt length, right? They go floor length. And there's like rompers there. And then there's like knee length dresses there too, skirts, stuff like that. So I was like, first of all, how often do I wear this shit? Like literally never. So that was, I started looking at some of this stuff and I'm like, oh my gosh. But then you start the butts, right? You're like, but, and that's where I'm going to help you, where I finally like crack the code on this. Cause I feel like I've always done closet cleanouts, but I just stare at things and I maybe remove like 3 items and then that's it. So let's go back to the how. When I started in the closet, I did take everything out in sections. So I do not recommend, my ADHD brain does not recommend taking everything out of your closet, because then you're looking at everything, unless you have like 12 hours to spare and you're just going to lock in on this. do it in sections. So I started with the dress section, right? I pulled all of the long dresses, I put them on the bed. I do think it's important to bring them out of the closet, because when things are in the closet, it's a lot easier to keep them versus when they're out of the closet. It's like, okay, I have to actively put this back into the closet. Now I'm going to go through, okay, like for the dresses, for example, what were my parameters of, am I going to keep it? Am I going to toss it, get rid of it? So first off, which I think you probably know what I'm going to say, and this I stand by, does it fit your body now in this moment? And so some of you might already know, like when you see a dress, you're like, that thing does not fucking fit my right leg, let alone my body. You don't need to try it on. Like if you know in your heart, you're like, this does not fit. This hasn't fit in years. This is not going to fit me. Don't put it on your body. There's no need to do that. If you're like, okay, I really want this to fit, I don't know if this fits, this is where I recommend using the comfort style test. So when you're trying on this dress, let's say, for example, you're going to put the dress on, you're not going to look in the mirror. I want you to just be in your room, not in front of a mirror. Can you zip it? Does it fit comfortably? Can you sit down? Can you walk? Can you do a squat or a jiggle? Like, does it fit comfortably? If the answer is no, out of here. Like, if it's not comfortable, you're not going to wear it. And so I mean from a size perspective, but I also mean from a texture perspective, because I know there's so many sweaters that I've bought over the years that they're so cute, like the patterns and like the colors, and I love them. And then I like try them on in the store and I'm like, but it's kind of itchy. But if I wear an undershirt, no, if it's itchy, I'm never going to fucking wear it. And the same thing goes for shoes. If shoes are two sizes too small and you put them on your feet and your feet kill you when you put them on, you're never going to wear those ever. And you shouldn't, right? Because they don't fit you. And so the same thing goes for clothes, right? Like clothes are meant, like your body is meant to exist, and then we find clothes that fit the body, okay? We don't adjust our body and try to shape-shift our body to fit into these clothes. And so this is where I've got so many questions from you all in a question box about like, what do I do with it? What if I'm attached to it? What if I can't get rid of it? Like, what if I don't have the money? Like all of these things, right? And these are all such amazing questions. And so I think that when you're looking at a piece, if it doesn't fit, right? Let's go there first. If it doesn't fit, if it doesn't fit and you don't like it, that's the easiest one, right? Get rid of it. But, and again, get rid of it can be donate, give it to a friend, whatever. Sell it on Poshmark or any of those, you know, retail sites. But if it doesn't fit and it's a piece that is like heartbreaking, you're like, this is, I've spent a lot of money on this piece. I really like it. Like I genuinely want to wear it, but it doesn't fit my body. This is where we can keep a bin that is the too small bin that we are going to put somewhere not in our closet. And I want to be very clear about this. This bin is not there with the intention of, I hope to shrink my body, and this bin is motivation for me. This bin is there because you really love these pieces of clothes. Your body is going to change throughout your entire life, get bigger, get smaller, stay the same, ebb and flow. So there will be a bin that maybe if your body changes, there are some smaller pieces that fit, okay? You don't have to do this. If you're someone who's like, fuck it, I have money and I don't want to deal with those things and I just want to get rid of anything that doesn't fit, great. I think about this with myself, especially being postpartum with my second child. Like I bought a bunch of jeans after my first, when my body changed, I bought bigger sizes and I just like assumed that those were going to fit again, but they don't. A lot of them don't because I have diastasis recti as well and a 4-finger gap. And so I have like a bulge. And so things just fit weird because they might like be big on the legs, but then I need more space in the abdomen. And so I just like kind of assumed certain things would fit that didn't fit. So I had to buy bigger jeans again. And so I have some of these other jeans that I'm like, well, I really liked those. They don't fit now. So I'm not keeping them as motivation, but I'm like, if my body changes, because I just hit 1 year postpartum, if my body changes, I don't have to go out and buy jeans again. I'll know like there's a couple pairs in this box if my body changes. please note, the intention is not, I hope my body changes, I need my body to change, these are motivation. Because there was a time, and I hear this from clients all the time too, but I know I did this a lot of my life, where I would try something on in the dressing room. It wouldn't fit. It would be too small. Maybe I could button it, zip it up, whatever, but then you couldn't breathe, right? You couldn't move. You couldn't sit down. And you were like, this is going to be my motivation to get smaller. Let me tell you, that doesn't motivate you at all. All that does is create guilt and shame and reminds you that you don't fit into something and then can perpetuate unhealthy behaviors and disordered behaviors around food and body. So do not keep smaller items if you know in your heart, you're like, these are for motivation. Now you can put them in a bag, a box, a suitcase, whatever, and get them out of sight. So for example, my too small bin is like way tucked under my bed, where I don't see it. Like I know it's there, but I'm not thinking about it. I don't see it. And then I just know, like, if there's ever a time where things are just really not fitting, I can go grab that box and you're like, okay, well maybe something in here will fit. So that is like imperative. And I can't stress this enough, because what is the purpose of the closet clean out? The purpose is one, organization, to know what you have, but two, to make your closet a safe space that the clothes inside of it actually fit you and you actually want to wear them, and that they're not going to trigger the shit out of you that every day you go in and you're reminded that you want to wear this dress, but you can't wear it because it doesn't fit. And then you're going to start to blame your body, and then see how that snowballs very quickly. So that I felt like I'm at a really strong place in my body acceptance, body image journey, that like I felt very comfortable with that. And some of you may feel that way. And some of you may be like, that is so scary to me. Like, I can't do that. Please know that our team of dietitians is happy to come along with you in your closet cleanouts. I have been in many of my clients' closets virtually. They'll just take me in and we start doing it together. And it's like a really fun thing to do with support, like professional support. The next two were some of the ones that I got so many questions on, and I found for myself that it was really hard to like unlock this next level of clean out. But once I did, I was on a fucking roll and I could not be stopped. It was like 10 p.m. and my husband was like, I want to go to bed. Like, can you do this tomorrow? And I was just foam, 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 like pulling shit off hangers. Like, get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. Okay. So second thing that, and I believe this was Victoria Garrick, where she started to talk about some of this. She's saying, like, I think her stylist said, like, are you saying to yourself, I like it, but something, right? And then you, because that's what I would always do, right? Like, I like this, but blah, blah, blah. And with that but, if you realize that when you're looking at a piece of clothing, you were always going to pick something else before it. Like, you're like, I like it, but like, you liked some other things so much better that you're like, I will never pull this piece of clothing out of my closet. Like, it would never be a first choice for me. You gotta get rid of it. And again, get rid of it, that means so many different things. And I think that's where maybe we could do a whole nother episode on like the nostalgia, the guilt, the shame, the emotions, the grieving that comes with getting rid of things. So I think that could be like a whole nother part too, which I think is how we're going to divvy these up. But this is kind of connected to the third one that I didn't realize was a big issue for me until I was doing this. So I had things in my closet. I think we all do. I'm going to say we all do to make myself feel better. I had items that still have tags on them. Things that I bought still had tags on them, never wore them, right? And I found myself throughout this clean out, and I don't have a lot of those. There were also things that I maybe wore once, or maybe I took the tags off of and tried it on and thought I was going to wear it and then I didn't, right? But I would see things and I'm like, those still have the tags on it, or like I only wore it once or whatever. And then I would start to guilt and shame myself and say, but I spent money on that. Like, I bought that. I have to keep it. And then I started to think about, but why does keeping it make that better? Like, it doesn't. Like, when you really think about it, like, there was like, for example, this suit, it was like a black suit and pants, like dress pants, that I must have got like when I started out and like doing some like professional events. If I'm like, oh, if I need nice clothes because I work from home and look like a troll every day. And I like found myself keeping it because I was like, the tags are on. And I was like, I would never fucking wear this. Like, first of all, it's just not even like the style that I like, but also since I've gotten some really amazing opportunities on like national news segments and TV segments and stuff, like I have gotten things that I like, or I rent things. And that's going to be a whole nother episode. Like I said, the donate, the rent, like how do we navigate that? But first today, I want to really hone in on like, how do we get rid of things, or how do we at least make the decision to let go of it? And then from there, we'll figure out what we're going to do with it. So I did not realize that I had such a tie to things because I felt guilty for spending money on it and then thinking that I had to keep it because I bought it. But even though I know I'm not going to wear it, I don't like it. Maybe it does fit my body, but like I genuinely will never wear that. If you relate to that, this is probably the part of the closet clean out that you needed to hear, because of course the body image stuff is important. Like, but I think that like a lot of people coming to this episode, you probably could have guessed that I was going to say that, right? Like you're not going to wear clothes that are too small for you. But I also want to encourage you, if you're not going to wear something, it shouldn't be in your closet. And guilting yourself because you purchased it. Because then I realized, oh my gosh, every time I see these items, it reminds me that I spent money on something that I don't like or didn't like or didn't wear. And so once I realized that, I just, like I said, boom, boom, boom. And it's funny because my closet, I have a picture that I keep like placing in the background of Instagram stories where it shows you like this huge part of my closet. There's just so many hangers. And I'm like, this all used to have clothes on it. Taking all of those clothes out. Yes, my closet looks so empty, but I didn't remove anything that I currently wear. Like I don't wear anything that I got rid of. So I started being like, oh, this is like so freeing because like I'm getting rid of things that I don't want to wear. So I also want to talk about a section when we're, I talked about like the dresses was where I start. And then I also talked about the too small bin under my bed. Well, I also have a section that's like my too big bin. And for my stage of life right now, it's like I have a section that's like maternity-esque where it still will fit if my body gets bigger. So that's glorious. But I also just know these are some dresses and some rompers and some things that like when I was pregnant, and especially like 8 months plus, these were like some of the only things that fit my body comfortably. So I don't know if another child is in my future. I don't know if that's our plan, or, you know, if we can even have a third because of IVF and our journey. But I do have tucked back in my closet an area that's like, if my body gets bigger, if I have another child, I'm going to need these clothes. And it's tucked in a place where like, I don't see it because like, I'm not going to pull anything from that section right now. I also like just, a lot of it was dresses and rompers, so I didn't want to fold it up because I wanted it to hang and I had the room. But this could also be an opportunity where you put a box together, a bin together, a bag together, where you don't need to get rid of it just because it doesn't fit currently. You can have it as that safety net of like, if my body changes, I don't want to have to go run to the store and buy all new things. I want to know that there's some pieces that fit my body comfortably. So I did have, like I said, a section of hanging, and then I did have like a small bin that had like a few shorts or things like that. Like just they don't fit now, but if my body gets bigger, they will. And I'm glad to know they're there, but they're not like thrown in the drawers with the things that fit, because that's the worst, right? You're like sifting through stuff. You're like, this shit doesn't even fit me. Like, why is this here? So that was super helpful to me. And especially for those of you who are postpartum listening to that, I think that's like imperative. And I also just want to like normalize this is, I want to normalize this for everybody that like your body changing, it fucking sucks when related to clothes. It fucking sucks, period, because you just don't feel comfy in it right away, right? But also I can promise you that the more body image work you do, the more you know, you go on this journey, you don't tie your worth to your body size. That's the difference. Like, my body changing is fucking annoying because I'm looking at my closet. I'm like, I have like six different sizes of clothes. I don't know what fits because the fucking clothing sizes are all stupid anyways, and they're all different and every brand is different. But I'm allowed to be frustrated, right? I'm allowed to be annoyed that this fucking sucks. And I'm not like guilting or shaming myself for my body changing. That's not even a part of the conversation. And if you don't feel like that's true for you right now, that is okay. Like, we're all on different parts of our journey, but that's something I want you to recognize because that's where some of this body image work can really help. Last but not least, now this, again, everybody's different, but I think this is really helpful for me. So I live in Florida where it is hot as fuck. Like, right now, what is my watch reading? It's reading 79, and that's without humidity. It is hot. It is hot. And I'm recording this in like end of April. So some of you are like in states that are still getting snow. So this is going to be different for everybody. But for me, there's a very small amount of the year that we're wearing sweaters, like chunky turtleneck, like big comfy sweaters. I love that. I miss that as a Northeastern girl from Pittsburgh. And I lived in New York, like, or New Jersey. Like, I loved fall, but we don't have a lot of that here. So a huge part of my closet was that kind of clothing. And I was like, I'm not going to touch this until probably October, and it's April. And so, but I would always like look at it, and it was just annoying. So I got these very, very cheap, I want to say they were less than $10, organizers for under my bed. They're like cloth with like a zipper and plastic. And I just threw all my sweaters in there. They're very short. They're very easy to maneuver. And I threw all the sweaters in there, and I push that under my bed. And so obviously I got rid of some that I hadn't touched, don't fit, all the things we talked about before. But there was something also freeing about going into this next season of like, we're ending our spring, or like we're still in spring, and then we're going to go into summer, knowing like the things that are in my closet are things that I'm going to see that I need to be looking at now. Like, I'm not going to wear a chunky sweater when it's 80 degrees out. Like, I don't want to see it. And so that has nothing to do with like if it fits, right? That's like a seasonal thing. And I know everyone feels differently about this, and I think that's maybe just like the ADHD in my brain, like wanting to really simplify things. So that was something that I really, really, really enjoyed about the clean out too, is moving things around, taking inventory. It allowed not only like the physical space in my closet, but it allowed a lot of mental space. Cause I feel like now when I wake up, I'm like, I know where things are. I know what I'm wanting, right? Like, I know where my athleisure is. It's actually in a drawer now because I got rid of all those other graphic tees, right? And it allowed me to get things or like see what I have. And this is where the next one we're going to talk about, like what to do with the things that you get rid of more in depth, but also we're going to talk about how to plan for what you need if you end up getting rid of things. And I understand that this takes privilege to have, you know, the resources and the money and have stores that carry your size and all of these things. So we're going to get into some of this. Also, this is where I really want to plug the Mindful Closet podcast episode that's in the show notes, because we talked a lot about finding clothes for people who reside in larger bodies and when stores don't carry your size and all of those things. So, I feel like I am rambling. I try to fit as much in as I can. So this is part one. Part two is going to be what to do with the clothes you're getting rid of and how to organize to say, okay, what pieces do I need now that I have cleaned out my closet and kind of organized things. So if you found this helpful, please, please, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you liked. Let us know what you want to hear more of, what you found helpful. And yeah, I had so much fun doing this episode. And so, like, I truly had so much fun doing the closet clean out itself. I think in another world, if I wasn't a registered dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor, I would be a professional organizer. I'm not necessarily the best at it. I just love it. It's like, I'm so passionate about it. And I love a good, like, you can't see my bookshelf over here, but I have like the home edit, like the rainbow book, you know, like all the books in the rainbow. And then I color coordinated my clothes too. So I don't want to brag, but I love organization. Okay. And also didn't mention earlier, but if you want our dietitians to help you with your closet clean out, if you want somebody to professionally support you with one-on-one virtual intuitive eating counseling, we have a team of 14 registered dietitians and certified intuitive eating counselors that are licensed in 22 states all over the US. This support is covered by insurance. Please, please, please get your benefits checked. Click the link in the show notes below. Go to bit.ly/FFF insurance. Get your benefits checked. Most people have no idea that they have this support until they check. And if you do not have support, if for whatever reason, if we're not licensed in your state, we don't accept your insurance plan, we will gift you one free month of the Fine Food Freedom membership, which includes 3 live calls. At the end of the day, I've said over and over and over and over, I want to make this care accessible. I want everyone to have an opportunity to make peace with food in their body, and I never want expenses to stand in the way. So if you have health insurance, utilize it. Get those free sessions. And if you don't, we have low cost cash pay rates and or you get a free month of membership just because. So there's really no bad route here, because you either get free one-on-one counseling or you get a free month of membership. So thank you for being here. We love you. Send me a DM if you start your closet clean out soon, because so many of you, when you saw it on Instagram, you're like, okay, seeing this reminded me I need to do it. I'm going to do it. So would absolutely love to hear how it's going for you. Thank you. And I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.